What's up, everybody? It's Al Mega, CEO of Comic Crusaders. Welcome to another Comic Crusaders podcast. And today is a very special day for me. Man, I'm talking to the dude that is the father of Geekery Magazine, okay? That's how I met him. And then he started doing some awesome books with, you know, like Franklin and Ghost, Warcorns, Cold Dead Hands. I mean, this man has been keeping busy. Reviewers love his stuff because the man is uber talented. He knows where he's going. I want to see him do Batman. Who am I talking about? It's my homeboy, Double G, Garrett Gunn. What's up, brother?
What's going on, bro?
Glad to have you on, brother. It's been a minute since we spoke.
That was a whole thing like that. I was like at the movie theater waiting for like the THX drama to fucking.
You know what? That's something I need to add on next.
Right? That was
this
sick.
This is awesome. Thank you. People appreciate the intro. I mean, come on, man. I'm hanging out here with somebody that's been making major moves in the indie comics market. You know what I mean? And it's been amazing for me to personally see your growth from the time that we initially met to where you've reached. I mean, we got, you know, titles, so we got cartoons, we got stuff going on. It's insane. All right.
It seems so long ago, too. Like when we met, like that's crazy. I did my first interview with you. I did like off a coffee table when I lived in Colorado, like with like nothing in the room. It was like all white, like there was like nothing.
Look now. You got a Dragon Ball Z board right there. Comics,
yes, right? Signed by my boy Goku.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I got all kinds of original art and graded books and all kinds of stuff.
Awesome. So you've elevated not just in skill, but also in your background. Awesome.
Yes.
Fantastic. So today, folks, if you see the background, I'm talking about Warcorns. Why? Because Garrett has the new Warcorns project coming up. I mean, in the last Warcorns project, you know, Combat Unicorns for Hire, he reached a plateau back in October of $13,000 to bring this to life. That, bro, is amazing. Congratulations, bro.
Dude, I don't even know like how that was. It was crazy. I didn't expect that at all.
I mean, it just seemed
so weird because up to that point, right, I was like pushing the whole campaign to like hit goal and all kinds of stuff. And I remember like really early, like my buddy Ryan Kincaid, who worked on it, and like some other people were like, dude, this is going to, you're going to hit 10,000, 12,000, 13,000. And I was like, I don't know, man, that's crazy. That seems like a lot. And then as it got closer, I was like, holy shit. Like what? This just keeps going. Like
so,
it's
what
insane.
Percentage over did you make it on this time? What was your original goal versus what you got?
I think our original was like 6,500 for the first Warcorns.
Oh, wow.
So we were at like 200. Percent or so, it was like 198%.
Wow. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah,
it was a lot. Yeah,
so be very, proud of yourself.
Me by surprise. I'm trying to remain humble, but also acknowledge the accomplishments.
All right, I want to understand this, bro, because you know, first of all, when I saw combat unicorns, I was like, whoa, I've never seen those. I mean, everybody's seen My Little Pony and stuff, and ants, remember army ants back in the day. I'm dating myself, but I've never seen this, and man. These bros look gangsta. What's the concept behind Warcorns? When did this develop in that brain of yours?
So for a long time I had wanted to write sort of a comedy satirical approach to like my experience in the military. And you know, I also wanted to do something that was comical in the way that like these soldiers were like represented based on like the like extremely like toxically masculine like environment of the military. And so I was like, well, how much will like these military dudes hate it if I make them like brightly colored unicorns? Like they'll be so bugged because they love to shit on bronies and everything else. So like now they're essentially the subject of bronies. Like so we made them these crazy unicorns. We outfitted them with like very cliche outfits based on, you know, which branch they represented. And originally the concept was to just make a one shot little story, have fun, put it in the Franklin and Ghost universe and just kind of like have this cool team of combat unicorns that like gets hired to kill Franklin and Ghost. And it was never meant to be anything more. It was just that I thought people were going to be like, this is a whole new level of stupid. And people loved it. People thought it was great. Yeah.
It's amazing for people who haven't seen it. I mean, just look at the cover right there. I mean, look at that grill.
Yeah.
You know, gangster looking, but he's a unicorn. Like,
yeah.
Whoa.
So after we ran the first campaign, I got messages like every day from people that are like, when are we getting more unicorn? Like, we need more warhorns. Nice. Like, when is the next warhorns coming? Like, to this day, I still get those messages. And I'm like, well, shit, I guess we got to do more of this. You know, and the problem with it is that we wanted to start a series that you didn't have to have seen the one shot. You didn't have to be in this universe to jump in. And this was like a fresh start at the entire warhorns universe. Okay. So this new series, Back to Basics, which is a military term for when you're all fucked up and like, oh, yep, you're screwed up. Back to Basics. Back to Basics is essentially our resetting. It doesn't like erase anything that happened. We just kind of go back in time to when these warhorns first enlisted and their journey through basic training, assignment, like getting assigned to their first duty station. And then like, you know, going on their first mission.
Well, see, that's awesome, especially with your military experience. I mean, it must have been funny and fun to write this up. It's, I mean, but so you put stuff in your head. I mean, are any of your former sergeants
all of them? They're all in it. Yeah, every single character in the Warhorns universe is based on real people I served with. So, you know, Gunny represents basically all the stupid Marines that I worked with. Floater's all the Navy people. We've got Arrow, who's like our Air Force guy, who's like never wants to get in danger. They call them flyers in our universe, which are just like they're pilots, and they're like, yeah, we don't get off the plane and go shoot bad guys. Like, we're good. Land you there and stay back in the comfy chairs. And so all of those people are real personalities or, you know, pieces of real personalities of people that I really knew or was deployed with or whatever. And in this new series, we're introducing a new character in book two called Staff Sergeant Kill. And Staff Sergeant Kill is, you know, your the culmination of every drill instructor I had, every, you know, first sergeant I ever had, every boss that I ever had in the military, like crammed into one crusty old shithead. Like, they're just, you know, Staff Sergeant Kill has been doing this for 30 years. He hates everything. He hates Warhorns Division. He hates going on missions. He just wants it to be over. He just wants to die so he doesn't have to deal with these idiots anymore.
Why don't one of these soldiers do him a favor? Jesus.
Right? Yeah. So we kind of, Back to Basics kind of starts with them going to this first duty assignment, getting this new squad leader, Staff Sergeant Kill, who has just recently lost his entire last team because they were, quote, idiots and couldn't keep up. And so they're kind of walking into the situation like, oh my God, like every squad that Staff Sergeant Kill has had is dead because he leads, they take like the craziest missions. They do the most insane stuff.
Is that the purpose behind the name Sergeant Kill? Because he kills his squadron off every time.
So the reason behind his name is that he's very, that's all he cares about. It's his true passion is killing bad guys. And like he will sacrifice anything, including his own team, to make sure he gets the target. Like he does not care. It's mission first. So
he's a soldier.
Yeah.
Gosh, so, holy smokes.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's so much fun. And he's amazing. He's one of the greatest people I've ever gotten to write. Because he's just so raw and doesn't care. Like,
so right now, what I'm feeling here is that this character connects in this next incarnation of the Warhorns. Are we going to get a one shot explaining his story?
Yes. So there will be. Yeah, there's actually an entire arc planned for Sergeant Kill's backstory.
I'm already feeling him. I like nutty characters like that.
We're splitting it into arcs now, like four issue arcs, and we've got about four arcs planned, starting with this one. And there's like some other spinoffs of Warhorns that we're doing with other new Warhorns characters and everything. But this first one is all about our main guys.
So with all the planning you currently have in mind for the Warhorns universe, do you have maybe a schedule set in mind? Is this something we're going to get maybe every 2 or 3 months, a new Warhorns project?
Yeah. So the first arc here, what we're doing is October 1st, we launch a Kickstarter campaign to fund making the first 4-issue miniseries. That 4-issue miniseries will hit comic shops this winter, and will be available as single issues. But the backers of the Kickstarter are going to get a first look at the digital copy of the whole book. And then they're going to get the only collected edition of, you know, basically what you're getting in the Kickstarter is the collected trade of the whole arc. So
only available on the Kickstarter.
Yeah. Yep.
And who's
exclusive
the
content.
Okay. You're saying it's going to be hitting in the shops, the LCSs.
Yep.
Who's the publisher?
That's Source Point Press.
Source Point. Yep. Shout out to Josh over there too, man, from Source Point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great stuff, man. This is, sounds exciting.
Yeah.
So are we going to get any I seen in the last one you had a lot of tiers. You know, you got the variants, the prints, a library, one of each. I mean, have you thought of the plan here of what you're going to be offering in this particular Kickstarter?
Yeah, so the campaign's already built. So we tried to take a little bit of a different approach with this one and offer very limited tiers. You know, I wanted the focus to be on the book and less about, you know, extra things. You know, so there's, I think there's only like five tiers you can choose from. You know, there's the normal book. There's the Kickstarter variant of the book, which is the Full Metal Jacket homage, like of the movie poster.
Ooh,
Full
really?
Metal Jacket. Yeah, with the helmet, with like the horn bursting through the helmet and like the pinup girl on the side and the slogan like painted on it, battle ready and always horny. Like all that stuff. So we're doing a Kickstarter variant. And then we've got some like upper level tiers. Like you can be in the book, you can be a Warcorn, which is something we offered before. We've got the cover art from the books. And then we actually have what we call the Charlie Horse tier, which is we're doing replicas of the uniforms that the Warcorns wear.
No.
So we're getting authentic replicas of Vietnam era fatigues. And we've got patches that are getting put on them, name tags that are going to say, you know, Big Sarge and Warcorns Division. And it'll look like the, you know, the outfits that they wear. So it's really awesome.
It sounds amazing. I mean, you're going to get the fatigues and all classic. Oh, I can't wait. You know what? I need you to also sell just the horns, bro.
Right. I know. I'll get like a army helmet made with just like a horn coming out the front. Yeah. Be great.
Yeah, man. I can't wait. I mean, cause you know, I also want to talk about the other goodies too, because you know, Warcorns is amazing. I can't wait for the next project. But you've also have two other projects you've done that I want people just to get familiar with as well, right?
Yeah.
One of them, you know, I know, what was it, late last year, early to this year, one of them got announced with the possibility of being an animated venture. This bad boy right here, Franklin and Ghost, which has kicked ass on Kickstarter too, pun intended. I mean, what?
Yeah.
So is there anything going on that animation front that you could share with us now?
We just finished the actual like full trailer. It's like a 3-minute fully animated trailer set to like music from a famous rapper, and tons of stuff. We just approved like the proof on that. So that should be coming out in the next month, probably like through some sort of news organization. And then we just approved the pilot script for what the first episode's going to look like. And we're doing like a couple little like fixes and rewrites on the script, and then it's going to be good to go and good to start like throwing at some animation.
Yeah. I how do you feel about that? You know, you did the comic and all of a sudden, you know, people want this animated version. How did you feel about that? Was that ever, like your first time ever dealing with something on that level?
Yeah, I mean it's a weird thing. I mean, to this day, I don't really like. Doesn't really feel like it doesn't feel like anything yet, because we've worked so long to try to like make it happen, and like so I'm one of those guys like I don't count it till the check cashes. Like when I see it on TV and I get a paycheck. Then I'll be like, oh, shit.
That's what you have a TV show. Dropped on. Yeah, I'm so proud.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. And for now, I mean, it's like a lot of people get this kind of, you know, they get the, you know, their stuff gets optioned. And then they're like, fuck yeah, I'm a star. Like, this is cool. Like, whatever. And it hurts them.
Just sits on the shelf for a very long time, and it
hurts them because they count their blessings right before they've actually got them. So I'm just trying to keep my head down, keep grinding, keep working on it until that bitch is on a platform and in people's hands. So
see, that's what an entrepreneur should do. You know what I mean? Definitely. Let's not get too excited.
Yeah.
Let's just wait just a little. I like that approach. So, you know, I'm kind of like that. I have a lot of things going on. And up until the day of, I really have no anticipation. But the day of is when I'm stressing out.
I'll get hyped. Yeah. I'll get hyped when it happens. It's the same thing of like, you know, people asking like, oh, are you stressed about the Warcorns Kickstarter? I'm like, no, I'll stress when the day it launches.
Yeah. But you know what? I think it's going to get done on one day, bro.
We'll see. Every time I'm like, there's no way like it's going to do, because there's always the, you know, the chance that it doesn't. But I'm looking around at my colleagues that are just killing it on Kickstarter, you know, during this pandemic. I'm like, this is insane. I've never seen the amount of support on Kickstarter than is right now, which seems crazy because it's right now that everybody's like hurting and shit. But everybody wants to like get behind creative things because it like helps them, you know,
escapism at its best form, man. Yeah. And, you know, again, you know, with the COVID situation, a lot of LCSs are still not operating the way that they normally would. Totally. So, I mean, Kickstarter has been that LCS avenue for many people to find new stuff. And I love it, because who's on Kickstarter is mostly indie creators. So finally, indie is getting his due. You know what I mean?
And you're seeing like for the first time, like you're seeing big companies like Boom, like recognize, tapping, you know, tapping into like, holy shit, this is a thing. Like there's people hitting 100 grand on Kickstarters every, you know, 6 months. Like we need to be doing this. Like,
see, but Boom kills me.
Which is great.
Boom kills me though. That's a Keanu Reeves book. I'm pretty sure you could just let that out normally and people would buy it.
I'm pretty sure too. But why are you going to say no to free money?
Well, it's true.
You know, I mean, it's all they got to do is have Keanu Reeves in a video saying comic books are awesome. And they're like, see, give us $1 million.
And they'll get it too.
And they will. Yeah.
McFarlane did it in a day in that Spawn
one. That is just that Spawn.
I was watching this thing just go like this.
Yeah, nonstop. It didn't stop. Every time you hit refresh, he was up like 10 grand. And you're like, Jesus, what is happening?
But I love that. I'm a big Spawn fan. Again, that's in the early Image when it was still considered indie and not premiere. Yeah. So, you know, I loved it. It goes to show, okay, people still do care about Spawn. Yeah, totally. You know, and again, and he's an OG POC character as well. You know, they don't really focus on that as the primary, because it's about Spawn.
Which is a bummer. And they never really like show.
You know, but lately we're getting a lot more Al and we're seeing who he is. But again, he doesn't push the political button too much, which is great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes, again, escapism. I preach that, boy, for real.
Yeah.
Now, with the Franklin Ghost, right? Got Warcorns. Now, there's also another book that's coming out next month. And it's this bad boy right here, Cold Dead Hands.
I love this book so much, bro.
Tell us about this, because I know Source Point Press is one releasing next month, I believe, the 28th of October, was it?
Yeah, 28th of October, the first issue hits stores. Cold Dead Hands, man. Like it's very different from like anything I've ever done. I had this idea of like, you know, it's sort of the whole book is sort of like a metaphor for like my childhood with a dad who was like a dad and grandfather who were like war heroes. Like both my father and my grandfather have silver stars, have like really high military decorations.
Wow.
And I always wanted to be that like really cool motherfucker like they were. I just was not good at it. And that's sort of what inspired Kit Kelso, which is like, you know, he's an aspiring mercenary, lives in the shadow of his dad, who was like one of the greatest of all time. And he wants so badly to get out from under the shadow that's cast by his dad's life. But he's fucking terrible at being a mercenary. He's clumsy. He's a bad shot. He's irresponsible. Everything. He's constantly getting in trouble by the people that hire him because he'll like lose the money that he had to recover or whatever. So it follows Kit Kelso as he comes, we say wrist to wrist with the deadliest hands in history. So he sort of gets into some deep shit and ends up getting possessed by these hands that had belonged to an ancient Greek mercenary named Athos Matisse. And they're imbued with this crazy magic and they basically just turn him into like a glorious killing machine. But the hands sort of have like a ulterior motive and like, you know, a hidden agenda of like what they're, why they chose Kit, what they're trying to do. Like they have their own mission they're trying to fulfill. So it's sort of the story about like him getting his redemption and like his, you know, finding a way to, you know, to reach his goals and dreams while also satisfying what these hands are trying to accomplish.
That sounds so twisted, bro.
There's a little bit of like my dumb humor in it, but it's like really like supernatural, very like magic driven fantasy, killing story. So
I love it. And the artist on this one is Lee Malewski. I hope I said that right.
Yeah. Lee Malewski. He's the interior artist. When I was going to do this book originally, I wanted to do something that was sort of Mignola-esque in style. And I was like, this is, you know, I want something that looks different. I don't want to use traditional comic art. I want something that's going to like elevate the story. And Lee has a very like geometric style of art where it's like very layers and layers of like shapes that create these like really complex backgrounds and builds in these panels. He uses really awesome effects that like really like intensify the scenes and stuff. And he did a killer job. And then we brought on my buddy, Brian Belondo and Kenny Aiken to do the covers. And they did a very like, Brian's a very Mignola inspired artist, and you can see that on that cover you showed. Like it's got a lot of Mignola. Yeah. Even Brian's signature is the Mignola M turned sideways for a B. Nice. But he killed it. Like they did great on the covers and the whole series. I was very, very anxious to hear what people thought of the story. And now it's starting to get into people's hands because some like retailers have early variants and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And people are messaging me or putting on my wall, like, dude, I just read the first issue. This is insane. Like, I can't wait for the second book. Like I've ordered every one and every variant. Like nice. This is crazy. So it's a little validating, like that. I'm like, okay, good. Like this doesn't suck. I thought it was pretty good. But now we're starting to get like reactions.
Anytime I see reviews and or even read one of your books, man, one thing is that you're writing, man. You are an excellent writer. So, you know, stop even thinking on those terms, bro. You are kicking ass. You know, with all that stuff that you're doing now, I see, you know, some big two people approaching you for something soon. You know, I've even seen people asking, wondering, what would Double G Batman be like? Oh my god.
Somebody asked, see, and I'm not a big DC person, and somebody said they wanted me to write some Red Lantern book, some big scary looking Red Lantern book.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know anything about this guy, but he looks right up my alley.
He's a nutcase. He's a total nutcase. That's good. I like that character a lot.
It's my niche, bro. The nutcase.
Yeah, the nutcase angry. Because obviously red is all about anger. That's what the Red Lanterns are. That's their power. So the angrier they get, they're like Hulk. You know what I mean?
That's sick. Yeah, I like that.
I like the Red Lanterns a lot. And it was funny that the Red Lanterns actually was a goof that showed up on an X-Files episode where it kind of was a reverse world. And so instead of Green Lantern, somebody was holding a Red Lantern book. And I think that's where Jeff Johns said, ching! And next thing you know, a few months later, we get this whole arc about the different colors.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's tight. Wild? Yeah, that's awesome. Damn.
I don't know how many people may remember that, but it started off in an X-Files episode.
That's crazy. I'd be like, well, thank you, X-Files.
You know, and Jeff Johns killed that whole run, which is great. Yeah. But you know, enough about Jeff Johns. This is about Double G.
Yeah.
All right, so
the other GG.
Yeah, man. And with Franklin Ghost, I didn't mention the artist. So Nicholas Turris.
Yes, right? Nick Turris. Yes, one of my oldest comic book friends and most talented collaborators.
So how did you get him on to work with you here with Franklin?
Dude, it was I don't even know, like, at this point. Like, when I was doing it, like, when I was writing Franklin and Ghost, I knew that I wanted the book to be very like, I wanted it to have a very like cartoony feel, because I thought, like, I'm a big fan of like movies that are, you know, they look driven like for all ages, but are very like mature. Like I love, one of my favorite movies ever is Roger Rabbit. And like Roger Rabbit is very much a mature movie, even though it's an all ages movie and a Disney movie. Like, so, and what's funny about Roger Rabbit is that all of the art is so cutesy, but then there's this terrifyingly mature, like, you know, foundation beneath it. So when I was doing Franklin the Ghost, I was like, oh, I want to do it in a way that's like really cute and funny and all this stuff. And then you have like this psychotic aspect of it. And I found Nick's art on Facebook and I was like, man, this guy is incredible. You know, we had worked on something before that, you know, that did pretty well, the Fear Diaries.
Okay.
And, I was like, do you want to try doing this? Like Fear Diaries was an all ages thing. Like, hey, do you want to work on this thing that's super mature and that's like this psychotic fox and his floating skull friend who are like going to fuck up Earth? And he was like, sure. So yeah. And that was it. And he just continued from like book one on, just continued to like up the, you know, ante on like how ridiculous and cute and psychotic and insane he could make those characters. And he's amazing. He's phenomenal.
See, you may now remember, made me remember another movie that kind of had that real life cartooning. You remember Cool World from 92?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Crazy stuff. I wish they would make more stuff like that nowadays. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And keep it on the mature level though for us, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's sort of why this new Warcorns book looks the way it is. You know, a lot of people have asked me like, oh, that's weird. Like this new Warcorns book looks a lot more cartoony than the one shot was, and that was on purpose because it was sort of we're trying to bring, you know, the Warcorns exist in the Franklin and Ghost universe, which means that when the Franklin and Ghost cartoon happens, the Warcorns are planned to be in that cartoon.
No,
so yeah, nice. So we wanted to bring, you know, kind of huddle the books into more of that animated look. We wanted them to look more like what they'll look like in the cartoon. So, you know, Kit is an insanely like talented UK based, you know, artist that worked on like Halicious and a bunch of stuff for Starburns Industries and some other publishers. And we had like been working on a concept for something else. And I was like, you know, I was like, you ever drawn anything with unicorns in it? He was like, no, but I could try. And I was like, all right, well, here's these crazy unicorns. Like they have guns and cool shit. And he was like, sure. Why not?
Why that day though? Why unicorns in your mind? This is still what bugs me. Like, you know, were you watching My Little Pony and said, huh, I think they look tougher as unicorns.
Because no, it had nothing. It was nothing other than like, there's a really cool comic that came out like in the 90s called Dinosaurs for Hire.
Oh, I and, remember that. Oh yeah, my God.
It
yes.
was, and it was terrible. Like it was terrible. I don't even know who the creator is, but like it's so cringy and so dorky, which I love. Like that's a compliment by all means. But like I was like, man, like, you know, that's cool, but like soldiers would like to be dinosaurs. Like dinosaurs are dope. And like unicorns statistically and historically represent, right, they're very girly and they're very like, oh, princesses and unicorns and all that. So I'm like, that's great. Like soldiers, especially male soldiers, are so tied up in like how I have to look badass all the time. And like, I can't show any emotion or weakness because it's a crutch. And I'm like, that's cool. I'm going to make you a princess and unicorn character because you're going to hate it. And also like, you know, the other thing is that like kind of it ties into the like real, you know, aspect of like the 1%, right? So like the, you know, every military unit you ever go to, every commander you'll ever have will say like, you guys are the 1%, you know, the 1% that volunteered to show up and sacrifice, you know, everything up to your life for this nation. Like, and to me, that's like the unicorns, right? Like unicorn is the mythical being, right? Like the, you know, you found a unicorn, it's rare. So that's sort of also like the, you know, we're the unicorns, right? We're the 1%. So it's just a multitude of reasons. Plus I just thought it was awesome. Like it's fucking unicorns, man. There's so much you can do with unicorns. There's so many horse puns. Like in the new book, there's so many horse puns and like it lends itself to so many opportunities for
I think we need to
jokes.
Put you on the Stagecoach podcast as well. All about horses, but you tell them this kind of stuff, I think they'll love it. And for folks that have never seen Dinosaurs for Hire, I mean, look how badass.
It's, <for real. laughs> it's so badass, but it's so like, oh my God, it's so bad. Like in the best way. Like, and that's exactly what I wanted this
book
like
to be. It's like a Sharknado. It's so bad. It's
exactly.
so bad, but you can't keep your eyes
like,
off of it like that.
This is just like literally when we made the first book, I was like, people are going to hate this so much. Even the quotes on the back of the book were like like by people making fun of the concept when I had pitched the concept. Like nice. Travis McIntyre, the editor in chief of Sourcepoint Press, was like, "This idea is shit." And I
put that quote
on the back of the book. You're at, this idea is shit. Like my editor was like, "I have notes." Like all the quotes, because I was like, "Everyone's gonna hate this, and it's gonna make me so happy." It's gonna make me so happy, and I love it. The people. What's funny is everybody's. The only negative comments I get about Warcorns is people are like, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen," and I'm like, "I know."
Don't you love it?
Yeah, it's great.
I get it. I love stuff like this too. You know, sometimes the more stupid, the better. It's just fun. Again, escapism at its best. I know I say it a lot, but it's just the truth. This is what we need right now. It's too much drama in 2020. We know this already. And stuff like Warcorns, you know what I mean? Franklin Ghost and Cold Dead Hands. This is the type of stuff you need. He's not touching on no politics. It's just good old-fashioned good time. And that's another thing. You say it's a cohesive universe. Is Kelso part of that universe too?
He may or may not be. You'll have to wait and find out. You have to wait and find out. Yeah.
Folks, OG is a big tease here because I could see him fitting in that world, and that would be really wild and fun now too.
There's definitely, and a lot of people in this day and age, especially like the collector market, like is always like at. I get messages from people like in the collector market that are like, "Is there any first appearances in these books or whatever?" In this new Warcorn series, you're going to see multiple cameos by other characters that exist in the universe. DFN3, who's an assassin, that's a very important piece of the Franklin and Ghost universe, is in this book. You're going to see big bad villains from Franklin and Ghost in this book. Tons of people. There's tons of new characters, tons of old characters. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, the speculator market does crack me up. One of our awesome crusaders, Lucas Fischina, he hangs out with guys from the It's Drunken Chat podcast. It's an Instagram video show. They basically drink all night and talk comics. And we also have a preview show, but they're all about the speculation. Yep. So if all I got to do is ask Lucas, "What do you think about this book?" "Well, it doesn't have this, that, blah, blah. Oh, and it's not this cover. This is what you get." Bro, it gets broken down in a way like, I mean, I used to collect on that level, but kind of stopped now. I only collect the things I enjoy.
Yeah.
That's how I'm doing it now, and read the things I'm going to like. And I'm not doing stuff with speculation. I may have stuff that is speculative in the back, but believe you me, it's going to be on eBay store real soon. I need to make room.
Right. People sent me a message, weeks ago of like the first print of Franklin and Ghost sold on eBay for like $1,400.
What?
Wow. As soon as the TV show was announced, like a 9.8 graded copy went for $1,400.
How many do you have like, left?
Not many. I was just like, it's crazy.
Are you going to get yours graded?
Yeah, I have all mine graded. Like I've got
beautiful.
Like 40 slabs in here of different books I've done of like other variants and like, special covers and whatever else. But it's cool.
I can't imagine the stuff you get, especially being the talented creator you are with all these wonderful products coming out. And again, people, you see it at the bottom of the page here, but you want to be kept up to everything, right? The Last Wolf Legion. They'll see everything, right?
Yep. That's my company.
Gotcha.
That's the company Last Wolf Legion is a company that I started that's basically a intellectual property development house for like not only ideas that I make, but other company members. Like Sean Schemmel, the voice of Goku, is a member of the company.
Oh, nice.
My buddy Michael Claro, Dave Lentz, a bunch of people that I work with that like all bring stuff to the table.
So when you said Goku, you literally mean the voice of Goku signed that board behind you.
Yeah, he sent it to me when we started working together because he thought that I was into Dragon Ball, and I'm not by any means. And he sent it to me, and he like wrote on here like some quote that at the time I didn't understand because I didn't know anything about Dragon Ball. But he sent me this like cool board. He sent me like a bunch of toys and stuff. And he was like, "Hey, thanks. I'm looking forward to to working on Franklin and Ghost, like whatever." And we became like great friends after that. And I was like, "Yeah, man, like I've never watched Dragon Ball in my life." And he was like, "What?" So he like sent me DVDs and shit. He was like, "You got to watch this. Like, we can't be friends if you don't know like the only thing I'm famous for."
Oh my gosh, too funny! Yeah. Listen, I'm guilty of that too. I'm not too much. I'm an old schooler when it comes to anime. Meaning, I like movies, anime movies. I grew up on Fist of the North Star and stuff like that. You know, Ninja Scroll. That's my stuff. Onto the shows, I think my only Voltron, Robotech.
Jesus, yeah.
You know, but all these new ones, I just can't. The only one that I kind of got into because I found this so funny was One Punch Man.
Yeah, One Punch Man is good.
That's funny.
I don't like, you know, that's my thing. I'm not a big anime person because, like, I don't like traditional anime. But, you know, a buddy of mine was like, oh, if you don't like traditional anime, like, you should watch My Hero Academia. Like, it's the most westernized anime there is. Like, it's very Americanized feeling. And I love it. I watched it and I'm obsessed with it now. I watch every episode.
Oh, nice.
I've got toys back here from My Hero. I got
posters and pops and all kinds of stuff. And now I got the main character in my show. So
nice.
Cool. Yeah. So
I have a suggestion for you then. It's Western style anime for sure. It's called Seis Manos. It was on Netflix. Six hands.
Yeah. Seis Manos. I don't know Spanish, bro. Manos. Yeah. It's Manos.
Sorry. Hey, listen. Six hands. I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm Latino, so I better say it right. Six.
I know.
Seis Manos. Yeah.
Six hands. Okay. Yes. What's
check
it
out. Danny Trejo does one of the voice.
Done. Nope. That's all I need to know.
All right.
He's
the big bad. So check it out.
Oh my God. When is he not the big bad, bro? I'm getting ready to watch. I can't wait to watch his documentary that's coming out.
Oh yes. Yes.
It looks so good, dude. He's got one of the most interesting stories of anybody.
He does, man. And you know, I watch some old school movies.
Yeah.
And I forget what was it? Was it a Death Wish movie that he was in? It was in some movie. It was a real old school movie. My man, you know, looked young, the short hair, had a whole red suit.
He's got like the leather vest on with no shirt.
Oh, it's man.
Like that, holding that a big knife. And you're like,
oh, what? That's a desperado joint for sure. Yeah. And what's funny is that my wife's uncle, he's a Dominican man, older gentleman.
Yeah.
But bro, if he dyed his hair black, that is Danny Trejo's twin brother. And I mess around with him. I say, hey, Danny. And he's always like, "Quien carajo es Danny?" Like, who the hell is Danny? And I'm just playing with you, bro. You know, but it's great stuff, man. Dude, this has been awesome hanging out with you today, talking about all these amazing projects. So please, I want you to just reiterate once more, when is the Warcorn's new Kickstarter going live?
October 1st at 9 a.m. Pacific time. It's going to be awesome. And there's some limited reward tiers and stuff. So back as quick as you can so you can grab the best stuff.
There you go. And also make sure to ask your LCS right now for the October 28th release of the Cold Dead Hands. And obviously, if you haven't checked it out, go to Comixology or wherever. And check out this Franklin and Ghost Before the Tomb come out. And if you want to spend $1,400 on a slab copy, just let Double G know.
And you'll also be able, through the Warcorn's Kickstarter campaign, you'll be able to catch up on all the Franklin and Ghost, Warcorn's everything universe. We've got add-ons to buy trade paperbacks of all the books, everything. We'll get you all taken care of.
There you go, folks. So support this amazing independent creator that I know is on to much bigger and greater things. And this is only just scratching the surface, which is amazing. So, WG, again, thank you for your time today to talk about the project.
Thank you. I will share
these very same links that we've been scrolling at the bottom, on the bottom of the post. So please, everybody, make sure to follow WG on all his social platforms, visit the website, subscribe, get on that newsletter. You have a newsletter, do you, on the website?
I don't. I've been trying to build one for years, and it's just, like, so frustrating.
So, well, visit the website and make sure you just mark it as a favorite, all right?
There you go,
because you're going to get a lot of great news. And, well, I'm Al Mega. Make sure to check out ComicCrusaders.com, UndercoverCapes.com. The same across all over social media. Thank you again for tuning in today. Hasta la próxima, mi gente. You guys all stay safe. Much love. Have a great one, WG.
You too, man.